Welcome to the Free to Lead podcast, journeys of leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. My name is Will Steele. I'm the host of the show. I'm a transformational business and leadership coach. I say transform the business owner, you transform the business. So if you want to be the fullest version of yourself in the world, decisive, taking clear action, moving forward, producing the kind of results and having the kind of impact you really want to have in your business, in your life, and in the world, then stay tuned. The people on this show that we interview are handpicked. They've got pearls of wisdom. They're going to share their breakdowns, breakthroughs, their challenges, what they've dealt with, how they've grown, and how they've become free to lead. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be telling you how you can get in contact in about 20 minutes' time. Right now, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Free to Lead, Journeys of Leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. Today I have David Safer. He's a globally recognized cash flow optimization expert. He's got his own system called My Cash is Clear, and he educates accountants and CFOs on cash flow and profit maximization strategies. And he's worked with hundreds of businesses with revenues from between 1 and 20 million in over 40 different countries. And interestingly, he was the vice president and general manager of Kodak Latin America. He transformed his division from loss into profit in 18 months. And then he was president of iOmega Latin America, and he grew the revenue by 404% in 5 years and profits by 181%. So he really does know what he's talking about when it comes to cash flow and maximizing your profits. He's got a master's degree in international management as well. So without further ado, David, welcome to Free to Lead.
Will, it's great to be on your show. I love the episodes that I listen to and hearing about the challenges that people are facing and how they overcame them.
Yeah. I think that's very interesting for people. People come up to challenges every day. I was on a mastermind today, and the leader of the mastermind says he screws up something every day. He's always failing at something. But if he's not failing at something, he's not really pushing himself. It's all just part of what it is to be someone willing to create your own life and create your business. So could you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, a little bit of backstory, how you got to be where you are today?
I'll try to keep it brief. I grew up on the East Coast in Buffalo, New York, which is outside of New York City by about 8 hours by car, one hour by plane. I'm sure you've got an international audience. The key to Buffalo is Niagara Falls. Everybody knows where Niagara Falls is. So I grew up there, and great childhood, no major challenges, school went great, etc. And I went to graduate school, and boy, did I want to become an entrepreneur. But to me, entrepreneurship is scary, and I didn't have the gumption to just jump into it. And I had a friend who said, David, you learn things in corporate you'll never learn on your own, which is true. And then you'll learn things on your own that you'll never learn in corporate. And they're two different worlds. But I did that, and you've mentioned some of the highlights. And wow, it sounds so easy when you say that I grew the revenue or I did a turnaround. They were major challenges and major struggles for not only me, but the teams that I led. But a lot of lessons came from it, and that I've transitioned that into what I'm doing now, working and focusing on small businesses, because small businesses, you didn't actually use the word cash flow once when you talked about Kodak or iOmega, talked about profit and revenue. That's what I get to look at when I'm looking for a large corporation. I didn't get measured on cash flow. As business owners, that's all we're really measured on. Profitability is nice. Revenue is wonderful. But if you don't have money in the bank at the end of the week to make payroll, your business will die a fast and painful death.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I coach lots of business owners, and cash flow, if that gets stuck, you've got to
move something fast.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what it's all about, is managing the cash flow. If you get good at it, you can start maximizing it, which is a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
But the management of cash flow really should be priority number one, and it just isn't.
Maybe some people don't even, I'm making a big assumption here, but let's say there are some people listening who don't really get the fundamentals of cash flow. They've either got the money they haven't, or they're panicking or stressed and somehow find the money to pay people, keep the lights on. I don't know if you can do this, but what if you were to kind of summarize, what is it that you need to keep in mind when you're thinking of cash flow and making sure your business is healthy, if you like?
So I try to keep it simple.
Yes.
Cash flow is very easy to figure out. It's the beginning balance of how much cash you have at the beginning of one period versus the ending balance at the end of the period. So you can have daily cash flow, which is the difference between your bank account balance in the morning and the evening, weekly, Monday morning versus Friday, or whatever the end of your week is. What's the difference there? Monthly, annual cash flow. You get the idea. It is super simple to figure out what your cash flow is. Now, the next step is to say, do you really care about what it was in the past, or do you want to think about what it is in the future? And most people are worried about their balances in the future. And this is where it starts getting interesting, because it's not just business owners who don't understand this concept. It's oftentimes the financial professionals that support them are looking backwards, and only backwards. Because what is bookkeeping? Bookkeeping is a record of the financial transactions historically. What is accounting? Accounting is making sure all the transactions are categorized properly historically. And maybe not just categorized, but also there's certain accounting rules for taxation that they have to do that really muddy the waters. Things like depreciation comes to mind, putting inventory into an asset class instead of an expense also comes to mind. Why is that a problem? Because it doesn't show that you actually paid for the inventory when you're looking at accounting. But what is your bank account saying? Your bank account saying is that you sent money to a supplier on that day, but it's not reflected in your historic records. So I'm not going to keep going because it's just going to confuse people. But this is a fundamental issue, this distinction between accounting and cash flow, and that's creating mindset problems in most of the people that I work with.
Yeah, if accountant, correct me, it sounds to me, and I've seen this before, if accountant doesn't understand cash flow, it's not a lot of use to you. He's just tidying up your books for the taxman at the end of the year versus helping you make sure your business is functioning and making profits.
Yeah, and there's a utility to having your taxes done properly. Absolutely. But if they're not helping you stay in business and grow, then it becomes a deficit on your advisory. Whether you've got informal, formal advisors, it doesn't matter. You've got a deficit if you don't know how to do this. And you probably have had more than one client say, wait a minute, Will, my financial reports say I made $1,000 or $100,000 or $1 million. That's my profit. Here's my bank account statement. There's no money.
Yeah.
Have you had that happen?
For sure.
Everybody who's had that happen has experienced what we're talking about. The difference between accounting and cash.
Yes. Yeah, in my own business, I have to look back myself. I go, wait, where's my bank? Why is my bank balance this? Haven't I brought in all this? And I go, okay, where did it go? Okay, I paid that. Oh, yeah, I paid that. And I have to figure it out myself where all the money went. My accountant doesn't tell me that.
And there's this interesting little report called the Statement of Cash Flows. And by the way, I'm not an accountant. I'm a business person. I'm not a finance person. Oh. I'm a business person. And this is why sometimes what I talk about is clearer to a business person than the accountant or financial professional. I've learned to interpret things. But boy, where was I going with this? You've got to back it out. And there's a quick, quote unquote, fix to doing this both backwards and forward. And that is, the statement of cash flows. Yeah, don't use that. It'll just confuse you even more. It's your beginning cash balance and said, well, this inventory is this, and then this is that, and you did the other thing at the bottom. It's just confusing to me. So I'm warning people, don't let your accountants talk you into that. That's the right way to go. Okay, so a good way to go is a cash flow projection. The industry standard is 13 weeks. That you just say, what do I expect to come in? What do I expect to go out? And you project it. It's never going to be perfect. You cannot perfectly project the future. If you could, you'd be playing the stock market or betting on horses. This is just supposed to be a good estimate of do you have any peaks? But more importantly, do you have any valleys where your bank account balance is expecting to drop below zero? And if you do, move some of the money around, pull in some revenue if you can. And certainly, there's always expenses that you can push out to avoid negative bank balances. But the ch key is knowing ahead of time. So you've got some time to plan and plan it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking from the mindset of somebody listening, right? Or somebody maybe even having the thought, why would I appoint David to come into my, I can understand I have to have an accountant. So I've got to pay for my accountant because he's going to sort my books out, make sure I'm okay for tax and not going to get into trouble with the IRS. Tax advisor, that's a good because accountants don't really advise me on tax. They do a bit, but I don't seem to be saving all the taxes these other people seem to be saving. Maybe I need to get a tax advisor. What's this cash flow guy? Why would I? What? As long as I got enough cash, what's the problem? What? Why a cash flow guy?
And you might have enough cash. The people who call me and want to work with me generally don't have enough cash. The people who do are good. But let me start out with the people who do, why you might want to. If you want to grow your business, cash flow can kill, or lack of cash can kill a quickly growing business faster than a business that's struggling. Counterintuitive. But when you're growing your business, you have to pay oftentimes employees, services, and goods ahead of you getting paid.
Yes.
And that can create negative cash flow short term, even though your projection is very rosy. But it could take years to catch up. And the best examples of this are Uber, Amazon. All these big tech companies are growing like crazy and draining cash faster than they can obtain it. So there's burn rates. Okay. So that's for a fast growing company. You want to make sure you have enough com in the bank. Most don't. But I did have a business owner who's, after we worked together, said, David, I wish I'd met you 2 or 3 years ago, because he was very conservative and said, I would have grown my company faster. Because his 5-year projects, he can now see the whole 5 years down the road. He was into constructing streets and subdivisions. But what about the company who's not really in trouble, but just floating around along? The advantage is that there are probably things that you are doing in your business. And when I say probably, I'm confident that within a day or two, I could find $100,000 worth of opportunity in any business making revenue of $1 million or more. Now, when I say $100,000, I'm talking about opportunity costs as well as hard cash to the bottom line, savings, or just fixing things and over the course of a year. And most of it's replicable. So you can keep growing and growing that revenue and that cost savings. But that's where the advantage is. I do not look at finance only. I've got 227 strategies at my disposal that I've documented. We figure out the exact strategies that are applicable for today, starting with ones that are easy to implement, that you're going to get a quick turnaround on, and then working on the things that will grow your cash flow as well as your profit. Because yes, they are related, but not always. But people understand profit. And if I say, okay, I'm going to help you fix your profit, then people say, ah, and that I understand. This cash flow thing, it's a little bit fuzzy.
It's interesting. I have a potential client who's just come to me, and his company's been making, certainly in the last 12 months, £230,000, not dollars, £230,000 a year. But he's only got left at the end of the year £20,000 to pay himself, with less than somebody working in admin in a normal 40-hour-a-week job. And this guy's working all the hours and stressed out and anxious. And what's right there for me, he's got no clue about cash flow. How can you be only giving yourself 10% of all the money you're bringing in? Something doesn't work here. I haven't got into it with him yet, but let's say that guy came to you. Where would you start to look yourself?
It's funny. The first full-time consulting gig I did, that was the exact situation. He handed me his financial report from his accountant from the last year. This was January, and said, "David, my accountant told me I made $250,000 in this case last year.
Yes.
And I only have $6,000 in the bank. Where'd all my money go?" Same thing. And I said, okay, let me figure it out. Now, at that point, I was pretty new at this and had a really pretty tough time. I had to figure it out myself. But I can tell you, at the end of the day, where would I look? I'd look, does he have inventory? If the answer to that is yes, then it becomes probably easy. I'd be looking at, what expenses did he have during the year that don't show up on the profit and loss? Inventory is one, but does he have any debt? Because when you repay the debt, he could have had $500,000 in debt payments last year that won't show up on his P&L. They'll show up on the balance sheet. Did he have business partners? And I'm making an assumption it's a man. Or did she have disbursements to herself? When you say pay, that's a nebulous term. Did she invest in equipment that was capitalized and not expensed? There's all sorts of reason that this happens. And then the other thing I'd be asking, is it accrual accounting or is it cash basis accounting? If it's accrual accounting, thank you very much. Don't know why you're using it. And you just press a button, whether it's QuickBooks Online or Xero or any other system, and say, give me the reports in cash, and you will get a clearer picture of reality versus the fantasy. I'll give you two more. Number one, accounts receivable. It counts as revenue. If I invoice you today, Will, for $50,000, woohoo, wow, I just have $50,000 in revenue on my accounting reports. Did you pay me? No. Are you ever going to pay me? Not with our relationship we've got today. There's no reason. You say, David, forget it, and I'd be writing it off in 3 months. But it shows as revenue. So I'd be looking at accounts receivable, right? How big is that? Again, it's on the balance sheet, but figure out if it's accrual accounting revenue. And then the other thing is payables. There's a possibility that they miss some payables. It's not as likely for payables. That's another place I'd be looking.
Yeah, so there's definite areas to go to work on, expose, have a look at, see what's actually happening. Yeah,
very absolutely.
Cool. Then you go. Yeah, then if I can ask you in your own business, it sounds like this is your business. This is what you do. You know, you help people sort out their cash flow. So what are you running into? I don't mean in cash flow, maybe, but what are you running into in growing your own business for yourself currently?
For growing my own business, my goal is to teach this to financial pros. When I first started, it was accountants.
Yeah.
But then without soliciting it, I've had bookkeepers join. Chartered accountants, CPAs, but now also certified financial planner, public CFO for a large public insurance company. So now I'm going fractional, and they've started learning this stuff also. So it's general financial pros. I want to transfer my knowledge. And they all say this same two or three things. Number one, I care about my clients, and I'm sick and tired of seeing financials that need help. It's obvious. And I don't know how to help them. Like, I care about them and want to help. And number two is, I don't know how to do it. So they come and we talk. We have masterminds and I have instructional materials. So my big goal, and it's the biggest reason, I have two reasons I'm being here today. Number one is this general information I am sharing. It is my mission to help small businesses. And hopefully somebody's listening today that will hear an idea that says, great, that will help me fix my problems and I can survive and start to thrive. And number two is, so if accountants, any financial professional wants to learn these skills, they'll contact me. That is my big challenge in growing my business, is more people getting in touch with me to say, David, I want to learn. Tell me about your program.
Got it. Got it. So it sounds to me like you're in hope that people will come to you.
Oh, absolutely.
You're
I
doing
mean,
your doing. You're making yourself available. You're doing podcasts, for example. I'm here and you're hoping they're going to come to you. So what's in the way of you going to them? In other words, calling up a company and say, hey, can I speak to your CFO? Hey, here's who I am. And I'm saving companies lots of money. I'm getting in touch with cash flow. Do you understand cash flow yourself? Great. Maybe like having a conversation to bring that awareness to what you do and
Sure.
maybe give them a free session of some sort and then sign them up as clients. Have you thought of that or is that?
Again, I'm transitioning. I don't want to talk to that CFO. I want to be able to multiply what I do. I want to talk to the individual accountant who's saying, I am sitting here doing the taxes. We're just ending the end of the tax season in the United States and Canada, and I want to help the company. I don't know how to reach those individual accountants. The majority of people who come to me are individual users, individual accountants, or own very small accountancies. So I am trying to go out on podcasts like this. I'm on LinkedIn and I do other types of outreach other than phone calls because I just don't know who those people are going to be. And quite frankly, there's no reason for them to trust me. A podcast like this builds a level of trust. They can hear whether they like me or not. There could be some people out there who just ticked off right now that I said anything negative about accrual-based accounting. I can guarantee you, if there's accountants out there, 100 of them, 10 of them shut me off because I'm a
So,
contrarian.
these accountants must have phone numbers, ways to reach them, yeah?
Yeah, but why would you want me? Is there a particular reason you're asking me to make phone calls?
Because current strategy is to attract people, like they come to you, right? Now, if that's not
Okay.
happening fast enough and you want to grow your business, then what's in the way of you reaching out to them? That's what I'm saying.
I do. I just don't do it through phone calls. I reach out generally on this and on LinkedIn with posts. But specifically, I do reach out through LinkedIn and start conversations with people who are interested, that are obviously interested in helping companies because I'm reading their comments. So I come on theirs and then I'll start up a chat with them in LinkedIn. It's an alternate form of contacting, but it's a warm contact instead of a cold contact. Does that sound good to you?
Hey, I'm not criticizing you. I'm on your side, remember?
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm like, what else could you be doing that you're currently not doing? And if you see it's something you do, but something's holding you back from taking it, that's where I would go to work. You know, we're going to see what's in the way of that. And it might be
Oh,
picking,
well,
it might be
would you like
emailing.
to know? But you haven't really asked me what I'm doing right now to try to
Okay.
find people.
Yeah. You told me
So
podcasts and
I
stuff.
did. But yeah, that's one of the ways. Yeah, I do webinars. I'm very active on LinkedIn. And I'm in networking groups. So there's a lot of things I'm doing, and there's only a certain amount of bandwidth. So I'm not a marketing expert. I'm not a sales expert. My key focus is on getting a better product. And so these are the things I'm doing. I'm very focused on just those three things. And that's where I'm sticking to. I can't dilute my efforts. I've seen this over and over time that somebody's got a all sorts of different activities they're doing, and they end up doing nothing because they can't make progress in any one area.
Okay, if you wanted to expand at a faster rate than you're currently expanding, what do you see that you could be doing more of, or a possible way to do that, that some things, maybe you're not doing that, not doing something you can see there is to do. Is there anything like that?
Sure. Again, my big key is visibility on LinkedIn. And so I actually have plans for this quarter to significantly step up my game. We are actively hiring a marketing person to help me with graphics and certain content, not to write it for me, because I have a unique voice, and to put out much better content. So I'm trying to actively grow my follower list. At one point, we were trying to do other types of marketing, and then we realized every single piece of revenue that's come to me in our organization for the last 3 to 5 years has come through LinkedIn, period. Ooh. And so we're doubling down to generate more leads, to generate more interest. I've got about 19,000 followers, which for some people, it's wow. And to me, it's okay. 19 is great, but I've got a message that should be reaching millions, because there is not a company in the world that's not facing this issue. They might be doing well at it, but they're dealing with cash flow in some way, shape, or form. And the vast majority of businesses that go out of business, it's because of cash flow issues. It's not because of profit. Mm. The majority of companies that go out of business are profitable.
Yes.
They don't have cash.
Yeah. Look, it's clear that you're clear about the value of what you do. Totally. And the business is not growing fast enough. So I keep bringing you back. I know it's uncomfortable perhaps, but is there anything you're not doing that really you should be doing more of?
Absolutely.
What would that be?
I should be doing more and better posts on LinkedIn, providing content, providing lead magnets, providing additional value to the people out there so they can get to know me better. I've got one ebook right now, which is very well received. It is a better book than stuff I bought on Amazon that somebody obviously took and used AI to generate, or just is going about an inch deep. And I give it away for free. And it's available. Hopefully you'll put it in the show notes so people can download it. But there should be more along those lines. I've already told you, I've got 227 strategies. I'm going to be creating documents that will have 40 strategies that are fast and easy to implement and generate cash and profit. And I'll probably be throwing up another one and saying, warning, here's another 30 or 40 strategies that are popular that you'll be told will generate cash flow, but really it's only short-term cash flow. They're costing you money. Use a credit card, accept credit cards. That'll increase your cash flow. It's a bunch of crap. It might get you paid faster by a few days, but you're going to pay 3 to 5% of your revenue in cash flow in credit card fees.
Oh, so
long-term, long-term versus short-term.
Guaranteed,
yeah.
Right? So what's the way of you posting more and doing more of what you just said?
I just told you we're hiring a graphic designer to help me with the graphics. I know how to do all this stuff. It is time consuming. So I can focus in on the messaging, et cetera. So I'm hiring somebody to help.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So does that solve your problem?
It should solve one of my problems.
Sometimes, unbeknownst to us, we resist things, right? So it may be some resistance around there.
No, there's not a resistance. I might know what I'm doing. I know exactly what my cash flow looks like, which is exactly why I'm being measured in the things that I implement. I could go out today and hire somebody for $5,000 a month to do all this stuff for me, and I'd have to fire them in 2 months, and it doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah.
For me, good strategies are sustainable strategies. So I'm finding an offshore somebody to do this. It will cost a bit less and we will ramp up. And then my next big problem I'm hoping I have is that I don't have enough time to have all the conversations I'm having for sales, right? That's my goal, is that's the problem I want to have. And then I'll have to figure that one out. And I've got two or three ways I could do that. And then my next one is, how do I do all the coaching? Well, that one I'm already actively solving. I've got people in my high-end program that are paying more, that want it, that truly want to learn what I do and how to do it, that I'm planning on having them lead some of my masterminds in the future, or having them be part of my team in some way, shape, or form. Or I'll hire outside people to bring in specialty masterminds, such as how to market your business. I don't know how to do that very well. We've just talked about that I'm struggling with it. There's experts out there that might want to run a mastermind that I would pay. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having all sorts of problems that I get to solve. That's Great. What I do. But I can tell you this, Will, and you probably recognize this, hopefully other people do too. It is harder to solve your own problems than it is to solve other people's problems.
Exactly. Now, if we had a little bit more time, we could keep digging. I keep trying to press in, but I'm not getting anywhere. But that's okay. That's okay. We would have to have a longer conversation. But I really appreciate your passion for what you're out to accomplish and the difference you're trying to make with all these small businesses. And it's been very great to have you on the show, because it is something I've recognized in all the business owners I've coached, that some of them do recognize it, but a lot of them don't, and they run into problems. I just wish you all the best for that. And how do people reach you, David? How would they find out? How would they get in touch with you?
The best way, go to CIC60.com and download that ebook and see if you like what you're reading. And if you do, then make the next step and say, okay, it's cashisclear.com is my website. The ebook has contact information, and I'll throw it out. I'm in the United States, country code 1-801-510-3566. Text me, WhatsApp, call. I don't care. Get in touch with me. I'd love to chat with you.
Awesome, David. Great. It's been great to have you on Free to Lead. Thanks for being a sport and letting me knock this backwards and forwards with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate it.
All right. Welcome.
Will Steele here. Thanks so much for listening to the Free to Lead podcast, Journeys of Leaders, Driven by Passion, Inspired by Purpose. If you're a successful leader and you're driven by passion and you're inspired by your purpose and you'd love to be a guest on the show, we'd love to have you. Just visit podcast.willsteele.com. That's podcast.willsteele.com. Will Steele is spelled W-I-L-L-S-T-E-E-L, all one word. If you got something out of today's interview and you'd love to share it on your social media, we'd love you to do that. You can take a screenshot on your phone, you can text it to a friend or post it on your socials. And if you know someone you think they'd be a great guest, tag them on social media or just let them know about the show and include the hashtag Free to Lead. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. And to make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, and your comments go a long way to help promote the show, and that means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to our website, willsteele.com, or follow me on LinkedIn under Will Steele, or Facebook under Will Steele, or Instagram under Will Steele Coaching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.